You first loved me. Lord,
stands as we sing.
You are so precious.
Isn't he precious to you?
Yes, Lord, you are
more precious than gold or silver.
Hallelujah. And I love you. Yes, I love you. Amen. Because you first love me.
Heavenly Father, as we come to you this evening, we love you, Lord. And we're so thankful that you first loved us. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you pre-planned all of this. Lord, we are here today because of grace. Every breath we breathe, you give us as a gift, Lord. Every minute we're alive is a gift from you. Lord, we thank you for the plans that you've made for us. Good plans, plans for our benefit. We thank you, Lord, for the truth. How precious you are to us. Become more precious tonight, Lord. Let your word come forth to show us of your real value. Help us realize how blessed we truly are. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask humbly. Amen. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Praise the Lord. If you have your Bible with you, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 11, we're going to begin with verse 3. Well, we can begin with verse 1 and we'll read on to verse 3. It says, now faith is the substance. Amen. The reality. How many loves that? Of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Praise the Lord. Do you believe it? That's what faith is. For by it the elders obtained a good report, or good testimony. And here's what I want to get to. By faith we understand that the worlds, or the ages, were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by things which are visible. Things which are seen are not made by things that are visible. May God bless his word. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Want to take the thought tonight of looking to the invisible. Amen. And what the scriptures is telling us here is that everything you see, everything that's visible, is made by something invisible. Amen. And so whatever has the power to create has the power to destroy. And so therefore the invisible is more powerful than the visible. The invisible is chief over the visible. That's why we don't want to be looking and focusing on the visible. If you only look at the signs or the conditions, if you only look at the world and the way it looks right now by its face value, you'll miss what's really going on. If you just look at how you feel, your health, your body, you're missing what's really going on. And people live in a world that everything visible controls their lives. But they're actually creating or helping produce the visible results. Visible things are just the result of something invisible. This building is the result of somebody's thought. It was in somebody's mind to build it and build it the way they built it. They put it down on paper, it became a little more visible. Then they brought all the material in, and the operators took huge, large equipment and began to dig and shape out the earth, and it became more visible. And then they began to lay the footers, and everything else started to be put in, and the cement was poured, and it becomes more visible. And this whole building started invisible, became visible. But it took the power of the invisible thoughts of a person or people to make this building happen. Praise the Lord. And you're the same way. You're not here by chance. And you're not just here because your parents, they got together and produced you. God was involved. As the Bible even talks about, I was formed in my mother's womb by God. I am amazingly made by God. He made me. He knit me together. Amazing. So the invisible makes the visible. And when we can get our eyes off of the conditions of our lives, off of the visible things, and get our eyes and our focus, mental focus, spiritual focus on the invisible things, that changes your whole world. It changes the whole world. Because as you begin to focus, whatever you focus on is what channels into your life, what comes into your life, what gets poured into your life. If you focus on blessings, you get more of those. If you focus on curses, you get a little more of those. If you focus on the negative, you get more of that. It's whatever we focus on with all our inner being, our spiritual, mental being. If we're focused on the negative, it keeps producing more of it. And so that's why I want you to, if you read all of the 11th chapter, these are people who had options. They could focus on the bad, but they decided to focus on the good. You know, Moses could have focused on the horrible Egyptians. He could have focused on racism and mistreatment and all these things. And trying to use, what he was using was a justice system. He killed an Egyptian. He thought that would work. It failed. And instead, the Bible says he realized, I need to no longer look at Egypt or my possibility of a position in Egypt, or I could become the next pharaoh of Egypt. And he started focusing on the invisible. As you read through this, you'll see those are the terms that are used. These men like Noah and Abraham turned their eyes from what they knew, what they were familiar with, and began looking at something they were unfamiliar with, something invisible. And by doing that, it produced a new visible reality that was so much better than what they had before. So much better. And all of us are saying, I want a new, you know, visible, physical reality. I don't like my reality. I want another one. And so that's why people use drugs. That's why people try to make new friends. Nothing wrong with that. But that's why people, you know, dump one wife or husband and go get another one and get a new job or go to school. And they think that something physical you do will change your physical world. And it doesn't work. Because it all comes down to everything is regulated, controlled, made, created by an invisible form, by an invisible force. And we know that's God, right? So understand that and make sure that's something that you realize, because there's real power in that. Because we are made in the image of God. We are made after his likeness. Man cannot of himself create anything. But he can build things, he can make things, he can do things that animals don't even think about. Now animals, to a certain level, create their own communities, create their own homes, nests, but they've been doing it the same way for thousands of years. You don't see an evolution among each one of the streams of the animal life. They keep doing what they've always done. A woodpecker keeps pecking on wood. You know, they can't decide they're going to advance. Man has changed over the years. Man has evolved, if you want to use that term. We used to live in hovels and tents. We used to live in caves. Now look at how we live. Now man lives in a 5,000 square foot cave. You know? But everything's the same thing. It's all materials. It's been put together. And so we're made in God's image, and to a certain level we create. We use the word, I'm going to create a picture and start drawing. And it feels like creation, even though it's not real creation, because real creation is to make something out of nothing. An absolute vacuum where there is nothing existing and then something comes into existence. Now there has to be a cause. Something doesn't just come into existence with no cause. That's just the law of causality, and the law of causality, which all physicists, all scientists use, they know that if there's a result, there had to be something behind the result. Amen. Right? You can't just have a result. And there's always a cause, and you can't do away with the law of causality. And it's amazing that you can take that exact same, because, you know, God invented all the laws. You know, the law of gravity was invented by somebody. All these laws are by God, and so that's why that same law and a lot of other ones can be used to totally vindicate what this book is all about. It backs it up. It doesn't debunk it, even though that's what the atheists would try to do, is use the law of causality. And then they use it. They can't use it. It doesn't quite work, but it actually ends up vindicating the Bible. Because the Bible is very strongly declaring that there's a cause for everything. Nothing happens for no reason. And who would want to live in a world of a total crapshoot, you know, total throw of the dice? And this is the atheist idea. Like, life is not really worth all that much. You're here by chance. You're going to be gone by chance. Maybe it solves some mental constructs that they're struggling with. But the fact of the matter is, it's much better to live in a world knowing there's a cause, there's a reason, there's a purpose. And no matter how bad things may get, it can get better. It will get better eventually. There's also another statement that the physicists will make, and people that study all these different laws and so on. And it's a very interesting law, and that is, if anything can be, it will be. It's pretty strong. If anything can be, it will be. I find that very powerful. But I don't want to just use that for the law of how atoms work and molecules. I don't care about that. What I'm thinking about is how we should be thinking. You cannot come up with a thought if there's not a potential for that thought to be manifested. You can't do it. You cannot think, boy, I would like to have something made with dairy that's sweet and it's frozen and I'll put my spoon in it and I'll eat it and it'll taste good. You're talking about ice cream. I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. You can't think of that unless it exists. It's already there. And even if you think of something that you think nobody else has thought of, how many times you've been surprised? I have such a great idea. And then you research it and someone else already thought of it. It's already out there. And even if you do think of something that's not thought of by anybody else, by all your research and so on, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Because you yourself, with your thought, could produce it. So the potential of anything and everything exists. It's already there. What can be, will be. Hallelujah. So it can be a much more definite way of thinking. Our thought should be on what is possible, not on what is impossible. Dad, can we buy that bike? We can't afford it. We can't do it. We should be thinking, how can we do it? We should be thinking, why not? We're not going to do it today, but there's a way. There could be a way. Let's find the way. Right? So, not to spoil our children, but there is a way of thinking as believers that faith is something that takes hope. And hope in the Bible is a different word than our English word. We think of hope as a wish. Right? We wish it would happen. We want it to happen. But hope is actually to expect it. So if you have an initial thought where you're thinking, this would be wonderful. I'd like to see my son saved. I'd like to see my body healed. You move that from just a wish or a want to an expectation. Do you understand that? Then you're in a godly hope realm, because expectation or hope is actually divine. These three things exist as though they have no end or no beginning. These three things exist: hope, faith, and charity. That makes sense? So you got to move. We have to move from a basic earthly type of, the masses have this mentality of a false kind of hope, which is a hopeless hope. And to expect, I'm expecting it. And you're only in hope. You're not even in faith yet. You're just expecting it. You don't really know if it could happen or will happen or won't happen, but you're expecting that it could happen. The possibilities are there. Amen? If it can happen, it will happen. At least you know you're on the right direction. You're going in the right direction. It's possible. Maybe even probable. You haven't even entered faith yet. That's not faith. Expectation is hope. The Greek word is joy-filled expectation. Now, you're not going to have an expectation for something good that you want in your life and be depressed about it. You're going to be feeling excited about it. Amen. You see, what is going to attract you to a realm of faith and the things that you need to start showing signs and evidence that things are coming is that attitude of absolute bliss and excitement about something good's coming my way. Like, tomorrow is Christmas when you're little, right? This is what God has been trying to do from Adam and Eve all the way to today. Even Jesus, be of good cheer all the time. Be of good cheer. Why are you guys crying? Why are you depressed? Why are you being babies? Be happy. Amen. Don't you see the storm? Yeah, get excited. This is a potential for something cool, something big, something great. All they saw was the problem, and then they weren't thinking about, here's the one who was the invisible, who made the ocean, who made the winds. Winds and oceans serve a purpose, but if they get out of control, you can control them. See, and so then faith comes, and faith is the evidence of things you've been hoping for. In other words, it's a sign. You still don't have the very thing, but now you have a deep-rooted revelation. It's mine. And I know it's going to happen. I don't know how, but I just know it's going to happen. I don't know how my children are all going to be saved and serving the Lord and filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know how, but it's going to happen. Because I got a revelation. I don't know how I'm going to get the job I've been looking for. I don't know how all my bills are going to be paid. I don't know how. I'm just saying to the Lord, like $100,000 in my bank account, something like that. You know, I don't know how, but it's going to happen. Because Jesus said, ask whatever you desire. Why are we not asking? You don't receive because you don't ask. We got to ask. We got to understand that there's something of the invisible in us that wants to create, wants to make things, wants to bring things into the visible world, wants to take something unreal to others, but make it a reality to us. There's something pressuring us by God, by His grace, by salvation, and the Holy Spirit, something pressing out. God doesn't make junk. He makes Himself. He recreates Himself. You are His offspring. Can you say amen? We're not just in Him moving and living and having our being. We are Him expressed. Hallelujah. He's looking to have you do what He did. Jesus worded it this way. You believe in me. If you have this deep-rooted faith revelation in your heart, the works that I do, I've been doing, you're going to do them. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Take control of your world. You're going to do it. If it can be done, it will be done. It's just up to us. We got to go from can to will till it's done. So the invisible made the visible. How many can say amen with me on that one? That's established by the word. And the people who succeeded and became faith heroes learned to look beyond the visible and see the invisible. They had to learn how to see the invisible. When they saw the visible, it was the limited portion or limited form of the invisible. When God became man, He was limiting Himself. That's a great hope for us. Shows it should put a huge expectation in our hearts. Because God is limitless, then what proves His limitlessness is that He limited Himself. See, Satan wasn't never limitless. He had limits, but he was pretty powerful and he had a lot of freedom. But see, because there was still room to be like God in the wrong way, I want to be like the Most High God, he kept pushing upwards. Whereas God was as high as you could go, he pushed downwards. He became man. He became limited by time, space, material. But yet the invisible was still walking around in the visible. The invisible one was in the visible one. When Jesus was tired, that was the visible, limited one. But when he said, peace be still to the ocean and the waves and the wind, the invisible, limitless one expressed himself. What was Jesus doing? He was showing us, this is what you're going to do. Because you're in the same thing. This is where our expectation should rise. When you were born on this earth, even though we come to this world speaking lies and we're conceived in sin and we're a sinner through and through, body, spirit, and soul, sinners, yet, hallelujah, God put a little spark of himself in you by grace. Grace. You didn't ask for it. God just did it. By grace. He's guaranteeing his success, see? If God came to earth and says, hey, I'm going to start investing in the stock market, how many would want to be in a room with him so we could learn everywhere he's putting his money? Amen. How many would say, yeah, I'm there? See, God wouldn't be a terrible investor. He wouldn't make bad mistakes. He'd be a good investor. And that's what you are. You're a demonstration. If you are have received Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're receiving the Holy Spirit, you've received his Spirit, saints, that proves one thing to me. You're God's investment. He believes in you. He believes in you more than you believe in yourself. So he put a deposit, an investment in you from birth when he breathed the breath of life into you. And let me go through a couple of things. You get an idea of how this works. But how many understands that our bodies are dying? Even if you're as healthy as an ox, you're dying just like the ox. We're dying. And in order for us to not die too quickly, God has set up systems in our body to keep us going. Now, some of these systems are foreign. Really, if you had a body like Adam and Eve, you wouldn't have any of these systems. But because we are dying, we have to have these systems. And they start from birth and go on through the rest of your life. And those systems I'm talking about are parasitical level, friendly flora. I talked to my doctor the other day and he was telling me he didn't want to prescribe antibiotics to me because he says it. You've got millions of communities of friendly flora living in your body. They're coexisting with you and keeping you going. They play a huge role. And they're in all parts of your body. And he says when you do that, it takes 2 years for them to build back up again. 2 years. I know people go get antibiotics like every week. So he was saying that, and that's a good doctor. I mean, it's probably why his name was Dr. Good, because Middletown, you want to go there, he's a great guy. Jewish guy, tremendous story. Wrote a book about a German officer during World War II that saved his grandparents, and he saved over 1,000 people. Really great book. But anyway, he said, I don't want to, because once you do that, it tears them down, and it actually destroys the communities. And you're kind of left out there, hanging out there for the next couple of years until it builds itself back up. So understand this, your body has worlds living in it. Whole worlds. It's amazing, isn't it? But our spirit, our mind, has worlds in it. There are strongholds and kingdoms. And some are good and some are bad. But the bad ones, the ones that are anti-God's word or against God's will, are the ones that we have to be tearing down, right? By using the word of God, we can tear them down. We can take every thought that's against the knowledge of God and we can bring it into captivity to God's almighty word. And so our minds have fortresses, castles, you know, kingdoms. Kingdoms, like I like to use the word neural pathways because it's a word that we all understand in modern day, meaning that it's almost like think of a pathway that's no longer a pathway. It's a super information highway. I mean, it's like every time something happens to you and you react the same way, it's because of that. It's automatic almost because that's how you've been treated before, and maybe even tried to set up mechanisms to protect yourself. And all that's doing is you're creating a repeat, like you thought about this thing over and over. That person hurt me, that person hurt me, that person hurt me, that person hurt me. And you're plowing, you're cutting down all the elephant grass. You're just making a path, you know. And then you run up and down and run, and then it gets beaten down. And unfortunately, those pathways affect us inadvertently. It's a negative effect. And so what God wants us to do when we're born again is to build new pathways. So in a way, what's happening is we're going to tear down the bad kingdoms that are not helping us, negative, bad habits, and build up better kingdoms, right? Mindsets, fortresses, way of loving others and protecting ourselves in a different way than trying to use negative methods. So think of that. Now the soul, which is the inner part of you, is one kingdom. It's either the kingdom of light or kingdom of darkness. And it's based on a free moral agency choice. And it is based on a choice. And the choice is a reaction. Right? It's not just choosing something out of the blue. You will be, everyone will end up being faced with the two options. Choose Christ or reject. Receive him or reject him. Pretty much what it comes down to. Receive God or reject God. Everybody in the world has that choice. And they're going to make that choice. And they'll finalize that choice. And there's a time when we think we're making the choice when we haven't made the choice yet. Thank God for that. That's grace. I remember Brother John Cutts saying that after his buddies were blown up in World War II, he just raised his fist and said, "I don't believe in you. You don't exist." But that's pretty funny. How can you be talking to someone that doesn't exist? And it was years and years later he gave his heart to the Lord. So it's a pretty cool story. But, you know, you can understand that. You go with your buddies into battle and you see them get blown to pieces. And how can you believe in God anymore? He said, "I don't believe in you anymore." But raise his fist. "Who are you talking to?" You know, so there's a time when you think you, and he said that. He said he was so scared that he had cursed away his day of grace. And he realized God said, "No, you haven't." And he was telling me something to that effect. Like, you know, even though I did that, I kept thinking he's probably mad at me. He probably hates me. He probably doesn't like me. You know, you can't totally not believe someone exists if you keep believing someone exists. So ultimately, the choice swung him to the kingdom of light. And see, it really comes down to that deposit God made down in your soul. Though it be so dark, though you are a sinner through and through, there's this little thing in you that sends out, it's a immortal part of you. It is sending out a beacon. Amen. It is sending out a voice. Hallelujah. You believe that? David said it the best in the Psalms. He says, "Like a deer pants after a water brook, so my soul thirsts after thee, O God." Talks about the deep calling to the deep. Praise the Lord. There's something in you that's calling out. And it has been your whole life. Maybe you remember when you were a child or you went through a tough time in your life before you really accepted the Lord, and something in you just cried out to God. I was just listening. There's a movie out about Steve McQueen. You remember he was an actor. He did a lot of pretty well-known movies. Did a lot of work from, I don't know, the 70s, 80s, 90s. He passed away with cancer, but there was a time when he became an absolute, after acting and everything, he became an alcoholic, and his life was completely bad. It was messed up. And he got to a place where I guess he just called out to God. It's like he had nowhere else to go. And he was miraculously saved, received the Lord, and it was not long after that the cancer came. So unfortunately, he was so ready to start serving God and doing great things, and it was so hard because his life was being snuffed out. But somebody, a pastor, which I listened to some of his stuff on YouTube, but it's he wrote a book. So what I was interested in was Steve McQueen. I like to see these guys who God gets a hold of them and radically changes their lives. And it's I haven't gotten the book yet. I'm going to try and order it. But what I point to there is there has to be something in there that, you know, these people in the out there are trying to feed that hunger with stuff. And then they, if I can just earn $100,000 a year, they get there and they find themselves depressed. Or they find themselves, "Oh, I got to have more. I'm not there yet. I haven't reached it." And they go more and more and more, and they can never find it. I forget which actor said it, but he said that, "I hope that you become wealthy and famous so you can find out that you're still lacking something." The most important thing. And the most important thing is Almighty God. And as long as there's something in there that's crying out, that's desiring, that's a deep calling to the deep. See, what it is, it's a thought of God. It's the thought of God. It's the potential of being who you were really designed to be. Because everything else, we copied our parents, we followed our older brother or sister, We copied our neighbors, our friends. You know, we mimicked a lot of things. People invent and reinvent themselves. I talk about this, right? But the thing is that there's something in you, even though we come into this world that we live in, especially in America, but everywhere else really, it's the same way. Everybody's trying to comply and fit in. And in the so-called success of fitting in, by the way, there is no success of fitting in, but in the so-called, you know, I feel like I'm one of the group here, whatever. In that so-called success of fitting in, a person has entered into a deep level of failure. Because they've never figured out who they are. And I deal with people who are 50 and older, and you'll notice they'll talk about they lived a certain way, worked at work a certain way, and now they don't care. They bought a different house. They changed everything. They didn't care about keeping up with the Joneses no more. And it's like, you spent 40, 50 years doing that. Why? Now you've got whatever left over, you know, and you're finally going to work on yourself. That's a sad story, isn't it? It's a sad story. And that's why we want to catch people as young as possible. Become who God designed you to be. Because that thought of God is his nature. It's a divine nature. We know that we're human nature. We know that we're animal nature. We know that. But we also have, potentially have, divine nature. Praise the Lord. And that seed gene is pulsating out a signal. Now, when you and I were born in this world and God breathed the breath of life into you, how many can say amen? It is something from God. You skipped around. You missed your full potential. Because sin. There was sin on earth. The only way to get here was to come the natural way. We're all stuck in the same pit. We're all in the same boat. But and originally when God made things and he made man, he said, let us make man in our image. And he made man in God's image. You believe that? But that's a spiritual man or spiritual being. That's who you were supposed to be. That's really you. The real you. So when you come to this world, you don't even come near that. You don't come from it. You don't come near it. That is, let's read about it. Let's read about what it is here. 2 Corinthians chapter, start with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Hallelujah. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, the visible, right? Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, the invisible. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, the light affliction you feel on your physical being is actually producing the invisible being in you in a greater way, greater character, everything else. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So now to understand, this is all ties right in with Hebrews 11. You see it? What do we focus on? The things that are not seen. Well, let's go back a little bit. What did he just say here? He said our outward man is perishing, but our inward man, the one you can't see, is being renewed day by day. Focus on the inward man, the inward person, the inside being. Focus, look on that. Don't worry about this. This guy's full of mistakes and errors and boo-boos, but inside is a Shekinah glory. Think about what that is. Focus on that. But keeps on going. This is a continuation, even though it goes chapter 5. It's still part of the same thought. For we know, that's the reason that the word for is there, for we know that our earthly house, visible, this tent, is destroyed. We know that if our earthly house, this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We look to the invisible. So now you got two things that are invisible to think about. One is your inward man. Two is this house in the heavens. When God said, let us make man, hallelujah, he made man in his image. This house is in the image of God. We can read about that over in Romans 8. It talks about how that, I think it's Romans 8 or it might have been 1 Corinthians 15, But it talks about how that we have borne this earthly house, but now we're going to be wearing an eternal heavenly house, just like Jesus did when he rose from the dead. We're going to have a body change, in other words, right? And so on. But he says here, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. And it goes on and on. But here's what I want you to just understand this. There's something that's really, really struck me. It's something very powerful, saints, that I want you to catch. Brother Branham said that, he said that when Adam came to earth and everyone else came to earth, we all skipped our theophany. And he called that body, that heavenly body that God made, right, a theophany. In fact, that's what the term image of God is. Theophany means image of God. God's appearance or his image. And so we all skipped it. And we come to this world, but it's the grace of God to not leave us totally disconnected from it. Because that little beacon that he put in you that pulsates out a signal is being picked up by your theophany from the day you were born. This is why he establishes guardian angels over you. From the day you're born, you have a guardian angel. You've got to protect that. He's protecting that little thing until you come to a place where you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and receive his life in you. Amen? But up until then, there's a calling out, a calling out, a calling out, a deep calling, a deep calling. And sometimes we misinterpreted that. We try to fill it with other things. But at some point, we finally accept Jesus Christ, like Steve McQueen did, as our Savior and go from there. And what we're doing is we're calling out, and our theophany at some point, when the Spirit of God comes in, the theophany comes and responds. Yes. See, if there's a deep calling to the deep, there has to be something in that deep to respond. This is really important. David doesn't quite go far enough because he doesn't talk about it, even though he intimates it, but he doesn't really go into the responding part. But in our day, we get to hear that God's plan is that if there's a deep calling, there has to be something responding. Even though God can listen for a long time, like God says, I've heard the cry of my people. Do you know they were in captivity 200 to 400 years, however long they were in captivity? They were crying out to God for that much time, 200 plus years. And then God says, I've heard the cry of my people and I've come down. Really? Finally? Of course, he needed to have a Moses. You got to understand the timing. But God will listen a long time. There's a lot will happen. And a lot of it is just to prove that this doesn't work. Alcohol didn't work. Drugs didn't work. You know, fornication didn't work. Jobs and career didn't work. Money didn't work. Nothing else worked. So that you can finally be so super focused on one thing left, and that's God. God lets that happen. He doesn't just say, all right, fine. If you're going to try drugs, you're out. I cut you out. You're not going to have a chance. He doesn't do that. His grace is going to wait until you finally realize, I need to go back to Daddy's house. At least I could be a servant. And Almighty God has a way that he responds. And what it is if you've been calling out, there's something that's going to start calling back. And you start hearing from your theophany. You get this? Praise the Lord. Look, saints, this is what really struck me. Hallelujah. When God hovered over the earth. The earth was not perfected yet. It had water all over it. You can't live on this earth with water on it. It was a whole flooded area. It might have been going through ice ages. We don't know. It just was flooded. And it had darkness. You can't get rid of the water with the darkness, because it separates the light of the sun that could burn off the water. So he says, let there be light. See, what God is doing is he knows that there's potential. The earth has the potential to be a beautiful garden. It has seeds all buried underneath the sand and dirt and underneath the water and underneath the clouds and darkness. It's all there. It's all waiting there. But he's got to get light to it. He's got to get light to it. Because for God, those seeds under there are not just something. They're calling him. They're saying, I want to live. I want to live. All life. God is interested in all life. And life is calling to him. So he says, let there be light. See, the light is the life of men. If light comes, life comes. If you get rid of, you know, like the Antarctica and Arctic doesn't have any trees or plants. It's ice cold because not enough light. So as long as you have light, life will come. So God is sending light because what's he doing? He's responding. God's voice, let there be light, is an answer to the seeds calling out, let there be life. And so all this starts happening for that. And so I want you to understand that the thought of God that was in you, that's born. Amen. The Bible says that we have the seed of God. We're born. The seed of God is born in us. You know how Jesus said you must be born again? And the Bible says that is an incorruptible seed that's born. Not your parents' seed. This is a spiritual seed we're talking about. And it's born by the word of God. Amen. And so that incorruptible seed is born. And it's God's thought because his word is his thought. Do you believe that? Amen. And so that seed in you, that real you, is the very thought of God. You were not just in eternity before there was a universe, an earth, before there were stars, moons, before there was any kinds of law of gravity or anything, where God was alone by himself. You were not just simply in his thoughts, saints. You were his thoughts. There's a difference. And those thoughts, which you were a part of and I was a part of, were not just motivating God to make the universe and the earth and the mountains and the hills and the trees and the rivers and the animals. It wasn't just your thought in him motivating him. You and I, the thoughts in him, were actually doing it. Does that make sense? The very thoughts of God were making things. Together, collectively, let there be light. We called for that. How do you? Because we were in him. We're part of him. That's why God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, because our human thoughts cannot match up to the eternal thought of God. But when the Holy Spirit comes, then Paul says, yes, now we have the mind of Christ. We suddenly have his mind. Before that, nobody could understand God's mind. Nobody could counsel, nothing. But now we have the mind of Christ by a new birth. So we were in him. See, when God said, let the earth bring forth plants, we did that. See, Brother Ram said some of us were going to enjoy certain plants, some others, some would love mountains, some would love streams, some love valleys. Some love, you know, different things. We all have these different loves that was already in the creative mind of God, in the creative gene pool of God. Hallelujah. We all started out swimming in life, in the pool, the gene pool of God. You believe that? And by his creative abilities, he was speaking, thinking and speaking, thinking and speaking. And we were there collectively as his thoughts, thinking and speaking, as it were, but mainly thinking. And the thoughts became expressed through Christ and made stuff. That's why, do you realize that in our galaxy alone, there's 100 billion stars? In just this galaxy. Anybody want to know how many galaxies there are in the universe that they think there is? 100 million. If everyone has 100 billion stars, and then according to Einstein, that's only 10% of what they're seeing is only 10% of probably what's really out there. That's why God says, as the stars and as the sand of the sea, because it's the same to him. There's such a huge number. But every single one of us has a name attached to a star somewhere. Isn't that powerful? Think about that. So saints, we were in God. Just think about this. And expressing our thoughts. Pulsating our thoughts. Let there be light. Let there be trees. Let there be trees with apples. Some people here don't like pears. Some people here love them. Some people here love apples. Some here don't care for oranges. See? But somebody else has that thought. And all that was made before there was even anyone there to eat it, to enjoy it. And it was simply the thoughts of God expressing, let there be, let there be, let there be. Animals, let there be fish. Let there be all kinds of fish. And by the way, sharks were friendly at one time. And they're going to go back to being pets. If there will be sharks, I don't know, probably. Dolphins certainly are. Different kind of, one's a mammal, one's a fish. But at any rate, fish. And then, you know, animals, turtles. Somebody in this room had a crazy thought of a slow-moving thing with a big shell on it. Somebody around the world. Somebody at some time. That was your thought. And all the animal life came. And as one is designed, another's designed, another's designed, and built upon one upon another, we continually were part of God. Do you believe that? Amen. See, it's so hard for us because we're so low in our thinking and our capacity because we think about what we can handle. Like, I know this microphone's here, I can do something with it, but sometimes it's we don't realize. And I'm hoping God can help us realize, saints, think about this, how powerful the Word of God is in you. The thought of God is in you. The divine nature is in you. How powerful that is. We're not limited here. We're limited here, but not here. This is the grace of God to demonstrate limitlessness through limitless, through limitings. Wrong word there, but you understand. The invisible through the visible. Jesus came to earth to demonstrate how it can be done. And it will be done, because if it can be done, it will be done. That's why he said, the works that I do, you will do. Or you shall do. Hallelujah. And so, all of it was boiling up and God was speaking, let there be, let there be, let there be. And finally, let us make man. Oh, saints. You ought to be excited about this. Hallelujah. Let us make man. You see, God initiates. He speaks first, and then something happens. Let there be light. There's light. And then light is responsible to God. It'll go wherever he tells it to go and do whatever he tells it to do. Let there be earth. Let there be wind. He makes wind. Then he controls wind. Let there be water, and then he controls the water. Let there be animals. He controls the animals. He makes a donkey speak. Makes a lion roar. All kinds of things. Think about it. Let there be. The greater, the highest level is the thought of God. Everything initiates from there. Everything else has to respond to it. Let us make man. Hallelujah. Theophanies, though invisible, yet our theophanies are visible because they're a made thing. They're created. Let us make man. Theophanies. They are the appearance of God. They are the image of God. Hallelujah. It's a word body. Can you say amen? Because it's made by the word. And it's made of word. There's no blood in blood vessels. Nothing dying. Everything's alive with that. It's your house in heaven. It's eternal. Praise the Lord. Because it comes directly from the eternal word. And it's not perverted. It's eternal. But saints, it took a thought to produce your theophany. It took a thought. And it took a prophetic thought. One that could see how the end result will look. Praise the Lord. Brother Tom, you got a picture in your wallet, or maybe your wife does, of you when you were 20? Because something in God saw it and spoke it that way. When you connect with your theophany, because it's going to be a very visible thing, because the Bible says when the resurrection happened, they showed themselves to many. You're going to appear to many. That theophany is going to glorify your body. That's the glorification. Do you believe that? The house is going to clothe this house. You'll be glorified, indestructible. But your theophany doesn't, Brother Tom, your theophany, sorry, he doesn't have jet black hair or blonde hair. It's going to look like you look. Exactly like you look. Think about that, sister. Think about how you look. Think about the fact We all complain about how we look. Oh, Lord, but your theophany is perfect, so don't worry about that. This may be a little bit, but it's going to be a match. Because God's word is prophetic. God's thoughts are prophetic. You have in you the very thought that spoke this world into existence. One spoonful of the ocean equals the ocean. One little thought of God is God's mind, is Christ's mind. One little thought that's in you spoke the whole thing into existence. Yes, we did it together. We did it in a concerted effort. We did it as a choir. We did it together. We were all part of God at one point. We were in Him, and all these things were made. Can you say hallelujah? Even your theophany was made by the very thought of God. You spoke it. This is why eventually it has to respond. You made it. The very thing in you, the very life of Christ, the very presence of Christ in you, the seed gene of God in you, hallelujah, spoke that theophany into existence. And that's why it's saying, okay, I'm here and I'm ready. And God sends His Spirit and makes a connection. Now you're hearing from your theophany. Hallelujah. Now, what are we hearing? Let's end this tonight. You can take this home with you. What are we hearing? Remember, it's the divine nature in you. This is God in the believer. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Divine nature. It's not something less. It's God Himself. God Himself saying, I'm groaning. God's groaning. Jesus groaned at Lazarus' resurrection. I'm groaning. Something's groaning. This is not right. This body isn't correct. It's dying. Life is in here inside of death. Life is groaning in death. Jesus Christ can't stay in a tomb. He's got to break that thing and come out. Hallelujah. You believe in the resurrection. It's already happening. You're already in it. It's already trying to take place. But it's going to require that when your body's changed, you're going to need to be clothed instantly. That totally seals the deal. Because you don't want to be in Adam and Eve's condition before they didn't get their body. They didn't get their glorification. They had a perfect body to begin with. So they were potentially could sin and fall. You will never be in that position. Because as soon as you have your body change, vroom, here comes your house. See, mortal cannot inherit immortal. So this thing has to be changed first. And when this is changed, your theophany can come. Praise the Lord. And God is orchestrating it so it's going to happen all at the same time around the world. What's calling? What are you calling? You're saying, oh, aches and pains, tired of sin, temptations, trials, even my own behavior. I don't like it. I know there's a better way because in me is the perfect one and the sinless one. But I want to be completed, not complete with this mix-up. So there's something saying, need my body. I need my other house. I need my other habitation. And the habitation's responding, I'm coming your way. I'm coming your way. I'm coming your way. Hallelujah! I'm coming! You're going to get a new house. Isn't that exciting? And saints, this principle works for everything. Whatever you, from your heart, mind, soul, attitude, feelings, cry out for, comes your way. You can bring anything into your life, anything into your reality, if you just go on and emanate that. It doesn't even matter if you speak it. Speaking it is important. You should. But it matters more because you can speak it and not do the other. It matters more that you start from the core. Start from the heart and feel it. Feel good about it. Feel happy about it. I am so excited about a new body, I can't stand it. I believe we're going to get so excited that we're just going to get one. I'm so excited. I'm excited about God taking care of any debts I might have, paying them all off. I'm excited. That's all going to get done. Credit cards are bad, but they're good. But they're bad. But they're good. But they're bad, good, bad, good. Credit cards are good because it's hard to rent a car without one. It's hard to fly an airplane without one. They're also great to make purchases that if you end up getting a bad deal, the credit card company will foot the bill. They'll take care of it. They're supposed to do that if it's a lemon or whatever. But you have to pay it off in 30 days. Saints, it's called a grace period. This is a really easy way to teach the gospel. Grace is a period. If you go past it, what do you expect God to do? You know, you're in trouble. So this is all I'm sharing with you. I'm trying to help you. I want you to understand, saints, that the theophany has been, you're hearing because the theophany, your theophany is responding to its master. That's not the way we've thought of it. We've been thinking theophany is like Jesus, it's like God. It's like, I get that, I understand that. But it's still, scripturally, it's just a house. You understand that? It's a house. The real you skipped it, came to earth, sinner. But that real you starts crying out. God comes and saves it. And you're going to get the full package because you can't just have the earnest without getting the full inheritance. Right? It would be pretty sad if somebody gives you a down payment for something and then you don't get nothing else. You don't want just the earnest, the down payment. You want the full inheritance. And so the down payment is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because that had to happen. Because the old nature was getting in the way. It was blocking the voice. And it got out of the way. So now that new nature is just growing and screaming, crying, groaning, singing, worshiping, praising, expecting, believing, excited, hallelujah. And everything that's due you is just coming, coming, coming your way. It's knocking demons out of the way. It's knocking sickness out of the way. Angels are attendant with it. Any possibility of you being snuffed out, if that's not God's will and it isn't time for you, you're not going anywhere. The devil's bad accidents, troubles are going to be moved out of the way. You'll have an electrician show up at your house and you'll say, wow, just in a few days from now, if we hadn't changed this, this whole house would have caught on fire. Why did you invite me over? Oh, you were at the store and I said hi to you and we started talking. You know, I've had so many things like that. How many can say amen? Things like that happen where it's just out of the blue. I was doing something and it ended up solving a problem I didn't even know was a problem. God's got this orchestrated. He's just moving, moving stuff, moving stuff. We're going to merge. There's an invisible merging going on now, but there's going to be a visible one. Praise the Lord. Are you excited about that? Amen. You ought to be. Amen. It's coming. Your theophany knows who his master is. Or her master, because he made male and female. Praise the Lord. Think of it. It got spoken into existence, so it has to respond to the voice that made it. It has to. Oh, it's powerful. And here's the what you're hearing. When you read the Bible, saints, it's amazing. I see people teach on the Bible and they'll go into something and I'll say, oh, that's a beautiful revelation we have. Oh, that's amazing. And they just blow right by it. Don't understand it. No clue. I'm like, what? The Bible says over in Revelation, God has seven eyes. The Lamb has seven eyes. And the pastor, the preacher said, that's a little too freaky for me. I'm going to go to something else. Skips it. I'm like, that's beautiful stuff. And saints, that's, this book has become food. It's become food. It's become food. You know, why do we eat food? We eat food to stay alive, to build our bodies, to build materials, cells. Right? You got to keep rebuilding them. And after a while, you know, it starts catching up with us and you can't eat enough and get enough sustenance to be able to keep yourself alive. But that's how it works. But this is word too. Jesus said, my flesh and my blood are food and drink. Unless you eat it, you're not going to have eternal life. And so this is food. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that's come into you is now leading you into all truth. The word itself, Jesus said, continue in my word and you will know the truth. So the word itself is not food. It's when the word becomes truth. It's food, but it doesn't become assimilated into your bloodstream, spiritual bloodstream, until it becomes truth. Truth will make you free. Truth and life and the way of God are all connected. So understand this. This is no longer a religious book, a historic book, a cultural book. This is somebody's food. The Bible says that there'll be starvation in the world for lack of not food, but the Word of God. People are starving with the Bible in their hands. This is food. When the Holy Spirit comes in, it becomes food. Amen. Because he said, drink my blood too. And that means receive the Holy Spirit. When we receive the Holy Spirit, then we can have the food. And it becomes food. What are we feeding? Well, I feed my spiritual life and I can live a better spiritual life and I try to live better in the world. That's not what it's about. When you eat natural food, it's for a natural body. Doesn't necessarily do a whole lot for your brain or mind, or it does your brain, but your mind or your spirit or your soul, but it does a lot for your body. So since this is food, it's got to be doing something for our body too. You believe it? You're eating this eagle food because you potentially inside of you have a new body developing. Ultimately, God can take the material of this body and he's going to materialize a brand new body right around this one. Praise the Lord. So you've got to eat this food. Look, there's a predicament here. It's an enigma. Your theophany wants to come to you, but your body is unredeemed right now. It's mortal. It's perverted. It's messed up. Your theophany cannot merge with this. So this has to change first. Amen? Philippians chapter, what is it? Chapter 3 or 4, the last verse 20, 21, 22. It speaks about first being fashioned and then being glorified. Changed and glorified. And Brother Bram talks about there's a redeemed body, there's a mortal, sinful body, there's a redeemed body, and then there's a glorified body. It's the same body, it's just transitioning. You go from a mortal to a redeemed. Now he says that happens from the inside out. See the predicament? We think of the rapture, we're all going to be caught up, the old Baptist picture, right? We're all caught up, all different ages, flying through the air, babies, old people. No, that's not how the rapture works. Mm-mm, not going to happen that way. When Jesus came up out of the grave, they didn't recognize him because he looked 20 again. Remember before they said, you're not more than 50. He looked 50. Now he looks 20. They didn't know who he was. Permanently 20. How many like to be permanently 20? With all the same wisdom and some extra. But you get the picture. So look, it's very, very simple. Your theophany is coming to you, but he's barred until your body gets redeemed first. Right? Romans chapter 8 talks about it. For we have the spirit of adoption now, but the adoption is the changing or the redemption of our bodies. So we need a body change, but we can't. See, the body can't be changed no more than you can be healed without faith. And faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. God's word must become food, not for our mouth, for our ears, our spiritual ear. This becomes food. It is transforming us on the inside. Don't let your bodies be conformed to this world, but let it become transformed by the renewing of your mind. This becomes food. It's changing us from the inside out. Hallelujah. Whew, glory to God. Before the sun could come for Abraham and Sarah, they had to have a body change. They had a body change and the sun came. You got to have a body change and your theophany can come. That's what it's waiting for. So anybody who says, I don't need to read the Bible. I don't need to pray. I don't need to listen to the message or nothing. I feel fine. That's sad. You should have an insatiable appetite. You should be so hungry. I've got to get this body change and I want it now. Because if I get that, I get this. Groaning, the Bible says, to be clothed upon. Where's your groaning? Where is it? If God doesn't hear enough groaning, he lets you wake up in the morning and twist your knee a little and, my knee. Oh, God. Get you groaning a little, right? A little bit of groaning. This body doesn't work like it used to. Yeah, he's got to get you to groan a little bit. Don't be upset about, Lord, heal me. No, he says, get the real message. Learn the real lesson. Amen. Oh, God, I'm groaning for a new body. I need that theophany. fine. Now that you're groaning and you're spending on burning a lot of spiritual calories, that should make you a little bit hungry. So now you can just start. Feed that baby. Amen. Feed the baby. Feed the new body. Paul says it this way. I tell you a secret. Musicians can come. I tell you a secret. The secret is this. We're not all going to die. At the end time, there's going to be a resurrection. We're all going to be changed. We're going to be changed first. In the twinkling of an eye, our bodies will be changed. Metaschematizo, which means to change the scheme of this body. Hallelujah. I'd like to just see all of us go, boom, you're all 20. Boom, 20. Now here comes Anne. She's 20. 20, you're 20. Huh. Yeah, but imagine you can be 20 in like the next second. She won't look much different, saints. I'm just showing you that that's how she's going to look. Pretty much. Only Brother Ram says all teeth will be straight. And he said when he met him over there, they all had pearly white teeth. That's kind of cool. A lot of good things coming. Amen. And I remember one place he says, I can't really sing too good here, but he says when we get our new bodies, we're all going to be able to sing like angels. So I'm excited about that. That's kind of cool. Because everything gets healed up, restored back to its ought-to-be condition. Praise the Lord. I have a maker. He formed my heart. And before even time began, my life was in his hands. My thought, my being, potential was in his mind. Amen. Aren't you glad that you were somewhere before you got here? And if Jesus said, I come from God, I go back to God, we can say the same. We come from God. It's his grace. We get to go back. And he has a whole plan to unfold that. Let's sing it together from all our hearts. I have a maker. He formed my heart. And before even time began, my life was in his hands. He knows my name. Yes, he does. He knows my every thought. Hallelujah. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears Hallelujah.